wonderful songs from Zion. Let's give the choir one more hand and thank God for them. Now, if you have your program, I'd like you to turn to the back of that program, and on that back page, you'll find scripture and a message outline we're going to follow very closely today. Our scripture comes from 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 21, and it's verse 1, 6, 10, 11, and 12, and verse 14. So we're going to read all those six verses. Verse 1, verse 6, verse 10, 11, and 12, and verse 14, all from the New King James Version. And it reads, "Now there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, 'It is because of Saul and his bloodthirsty house, because he killed Gibeonites.'" Verse 6, "Let seven men of Saul's descendants be delivered to us, and we will hang them before the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord chose." And the king, King David, said, "I will give them." Verse 10, "Now Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, took sackcloth and spread it for herself on the rock. From the beginning of harvest until the late rains poured on them from heaven, and she did not allow the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the field by night. And David was told what Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, the concubine of Saul, had done. Then David went and took the bones of Saul. They buried the bones of Saul and Jonathan, his sons, in the country of Benjamin and Zelah, in the tomb of Kish, his father. So they performed all that the king commanded. And after that, God heeded the prayer for the land." So I want to talk to you today on this subject. Since this is Women's History Month, I wanted to find a woman that we could look at in scripture, a woman that was probably not very well known to most of you. But this woman does something spectacular, something very necessary for the good of the land. And I want to talk about her perseverance, how she perseveres, even under some very difficult circumstances. Rizpah is pretty much unknown. I looked at several commentaries. One of my favorite commentaries is by Walter Brueggemann. And First and Second Samuel, he's got a book that he's written on those two books of the Bible. And I was just surprised that Rizpah is not mentioned in those books. And it's on this chapter, the 21st chapter of Second Samuel. I said, I know Brueggemann's going to say something about her. And he says absolutely nothing. He is one of the premier scholars of the Old Testament. And his books are very well recognized in seminaries and theological schools all over the world. And so I was surprised at that. But then I found some other commentaries that do mention her briefly. But it is important for us today. I want to lift up some things that make her stand out. And I hope that we will get some of these characteristics that she has that will help you in your life and help me in my life. It is this idea of persevering, particularly when things don't go well. As we see here in the 21st chapter, it opens up with the fact that they have been in a famine and that they were in a famine for 3 years. So this has been going on for a while. And in a famine, things just get tougher. There's no water. And there's very few crops. And so this lack of water, this lack of crops, there's less food to go around. And you know what happens when people get hungry. They're not as friendly as they had been. Sometimes they're not as nice. And so this was happening to the whole nation. And David, in verse 1, David inquires of the Lord. David prays. He said, God, why is this happening to us? We're in this famine, and it's year after year. It's 3 years now, and 3 years and counting. What is going on? Why are you allowing this to happen, and for this long? David inquires. God then responds back to him in verse 1. All this happens in verse 1. God responds to him, it is because of the actions of King Saul and Israel. It wasn't just Saul by himself. It was Saul and Israel. They have been bloodthirsty. God uses this idea of bloodthirsty. And bloodthirsty actually has to do with being too eager, almost gladly, going to war. They were bloodthirsty. They went to war with the Gibeonites, and God had told them in the book of Joshua not to wage war on the Gibeonites. And up until King Saul, they had not waged war on the Gibeonites. But Saul decides he wanted to take what the Gibeonites had. It was so close. It's almost America taking Cuba. It's just so close that we might as well, we'll just take it from them and kill them also. Oh, we're going to take it. We're going to take it and make sure their blood flows in the streets. And God allowed it to happen. There are so many things that I'm going to be asking God about when I get to heaven. But this is one of those things that God allowed to happen. He allowed it to happen, and then he says to David, now, I'm going to send you to the Gibeonites and see how they want to resolve this. This is some years later. Now, David is on the throne. David asks God, why are we in this famine? God tells him, because this nation, Saul was leading it, but the nation did it, they were bloodthirsty. And because they shed blood when I had specifically directed them not to shed blood, God then allows this famine to happen. Now, when famines happen, God is the one that is in control. And so what we need to make sure we do, particularly when some things that happen are out of your control, you need to talk to the one that is in control. David does the right thing. He talks to God. He prays to God. And then God gives him the answer. God says to him, go to the Gibeonites, and whatever they require of you, do that. And so we pick it up in verse 6. Verse 6 says, let 7 men of his descendants, of Saul's descendants, be delivered to us, and we will hang them before the Lord. They actually tell David, we're going to get 7 of Saul's sons, and we're going to hang them in the presence of God. We want God to be our witness. He didn't say in the presence of Israel. He didn't say in the presence of the king. They said, we're going to hang them in the presence of God, because God is the one that they had violated. God was the one that the nation had violated, that King Saul had violated, and so God now is allowing them to make the decision. And the commentators are different. Some maintain that what the Gibeonites should have done is said, whatever the Lord decides. Because remember, God does say, vengeance is mine. But God gives it them the right to decide. And my brothers and sisters, I want to just warn you of this. When God gives you the right to decide, as a believer in God, you need to make the decision, I want to do it the Lord's way. Now, a lot of times your feelings can get involved, and you may say, like the Gibeonites, hang them. And God allowed them to do that. But if we look at the spirit of Christ, Christ said he would die on their behalf. He would die on our behalf. We were sinners, and we were lost, and we did what was wrong, and God said, I'll die on your behalf. You've been bloodthirsty. You've been for vengeance. You wanted payback. And you wanted to hurt somebody. And God tells us through Jesus Christ that that's not the way that we should go. We need to go the way of Christ, the way of mercy, the way of love. The Gibeonites, they said, no, what we're going to do, and God will permit us to do it. And they were right about that. God did permit it. They said, we want 7 sons of Saul. And we want to hang them. 7 is a number of completion. They said, this matter will be complete when we hang these 7. Well, they took 2. Saul had several different wives and concubines. And so they took 5 of his sons from one wife, and 2 of his sons was from this woman, Rizpah, that we're going to look at today. And they hang Rizpah's 2 sons, and they hang 5 other sons. So the total number was 7. Now, after they've been hung, they were then left on the tree that they were hung on. They were just, their bodies were just left there. Nobody would take them down. The bodies were just hanging there. And when Rizpah learns that her sons were just hanging there, she decides she was going to do something about it. Now, she didn't have the authority or the ability to take them down. I believe she would have if she had been able to do that. She wasn't able to do that. So she does, and this is what I want you to get from her now, she does what she's able to do. Let me try to bring this to you now. First part of your outline, there's a famine because of Saul. He killed the Gibeonites. I want you to note that. Second part of your outline is we will hang them in front of the Lord. They wasn't trying to hide it. I want you to get in your mind, every word you speak and every action you take is in front of the Lord. Especially when you think you got the cover of night and you got your head covered and don't nobody see you. You're in Vegas or somewhere. Don't nobody know you. I can do whatever I want to do. Gamble or whatever's going on, I can participate. The Bible says, whatever you do in that place, you're doing it in front of the Lord. I've done some things I'm not proud of, but I never did it recognizing that I was in front of the Lord. In fact, I wouldn't even do it in front of my parents, much less in front of the Lord. But God has shown us that God is everywhere, and so whatever you do, you're doing it in front of the Lord. You got an audience of at least one, and that's God. And that itself ought to change. It ought to make a change in our behavior. I when I became convicted of that, it made me stop cursing. Now, I know a lot of folks, I think, still need a good cursing out, but God said, if they need it, it's not coming from you. God has convicted me of it, and I know it's right. Because whatever we do, whatever we say, it is in front of the Lord. What I love about these Gibeonites, they said, we're not going to try to hide it. We're going to do it in front of the Lord. The Lord is going to see it. Everybody else is going to see it. But when Rizpah hears it, verse 10, Rizpah, she hears it, and she does what she can. And let's look at what she does. The first thing we read in verse 10 was she took sackcloth and spread it on the rock. I want you to note, my brothers and sisters, this third part of your outline. Rizpah took sackcloth and spread it on the rock, and that rock represents Jesus Christ. So she takes this sackcloth, which represents humility, and she takes her humility and she spreads it on the rock. Well, Jesus Christ is the rock. He's the rock of our salvation. He's the rock that saves us. He's the rock that will preserve us. And so she takes her what was hurting her, and she said, I'm going to put this on the rock. Jesus tells us to cast all of our cares upon him because he cares for us. And so we have this example from Rizpah that she brings her concern, she brings her humility, and she brings it and puts it on the rock. That's important because we got a rock, my brothers and sisters, you can take every concern to. It doesn't matter whether it's somebody in your family or somebody in your health, something with your finances, or something in your relationship. Doesn't matter what it is, you can take it to the rock. And as Rizpah does, she spreads it on the rock. She wants the rock to be covered with this. She's making this her primary issue. I want the rock to handle this. I want the rock to know what I'm going through. And so she spreads this on the rock. But not only does she do that, the Bible tells us she also, and this is the fourth part of your outline, next, please note this, Rizpah did not allow birds of the air by day nor wild beasts by night to come upon those men that were hanging from the tree. She would not allow it. Every believer in Jesus Christ, you need to have something that you will not allow. You just can't go for everything. Everything can't be okay with you. You got to get to where, you know what, this crosses the line. We'll not allow it. That has to be your own personal conviction, because if you don't have some lines that you won't cross, people will run you through those lines. They'll push you where you didn't have no intention of going. And you got to be willing to say, no, I won't allow that. Some things I just won't do. I'm not going to allow myself to be involved in. And so Rizpah, she said, no, I'm not going to allow this. I couldn't stop them from hanging them. I can't even get them down from being hung. But what I can do, I can stop the birds from eating on their bodies. I can stop the wild beasts from coming in and chewing them up at night. She does what she's able to do, and she makes a conviction that there are some things I will not allow. And when you get that conviction, my brother and sister, I'm not going to let this happen. God then will enable you to stand by your convictions. Now, if I was Rizpah's brother, I would have said, you're trying to stop the wild beast from eating them. You need to be concerned about the wild beast eating you. Don't stay out here day and night. You know, put in a 10-hour day, a 12-hour day. Don't put in a 24-hour day for months. Months. Remember, it says it's from the harvest season all the way up until the rainy season. That was several months. And she's out there for those months, fighting the birds and fighting the wild animals. And this is over not some living son. These sons are already dead. It was for her a matter of honor. It was a matter of principle. And God's people ought to have some honor and some principles. I love Rizpah because she stood up for her principles. She stood up for what she knew was an honorable thing to do. Not to mention the fact that in the book of Deuteronomy, I think it's the 21st chapter, where it says that if somebody is hung, if the government decides to hang somebody, they have to take them down by nightfall. That was in the law. But this time they overlooked the law. And I'm thinking that David was saying, well, Israel didn't hang them. It was the Gibeonites that hung them. Israel didn't actually do this execution. Israel just turned them over to the Gibeonites, and the Gibeonites done it. But God's word, it applies wherever you are. They should have done something, but they didn't. David should have done something, but he didn't. And so Rizpah, she does something. And let me show you what happens in verse 11. And verse 11 says, and David was told what Rizpah had done. David, word gets back to King David. She's not able to get the bodies down, but she's able to fight the birds off, and she's able to keep the wild beasts from eating them up. And when the word got back to King David about what Rizpah was doing, David then becomes convicted that David really should have been the one to do something. And so verse 12 tells us this. It says, then David went and took the bones of Saul and took the bones of Saul's sons. He goes to where King Saul had died, and his bones were still laying out there. And Jonathan's bones were still laying out there. And he takes the bones of these sons of Saul, and he says, we're going to bury them all. Saul shouldn't have been treated this way. Even though he's dead, we should have treated him better. Rizpah makes them aware that even when somebody has died, some of us need to hear this today, even when somebody has died, you still should show the dead some respect. You know, people are going out to cemeteries and stealing the metal plaques off the cemetery, the headstones of the cemetery. That's shameful. I know times are tough, and I know people need money, but we ought to have some respect for the dead. David then goes, in verse 12, David hears the report that had come regarding Rizpah. And when he gets that report, something stirs in him. He needs to do more. And it's a good thing when Christian believers can come together and we can stir each other up to do more for our God. We come together to encourage one another. Can we do more? Verse 12 tells us, then David recognizes he needed to do more. Let me get to the last thing, and I'll be finished for today. The scripture tells us when David finally now gets everybody properly buried, these are Rizpah's sons, the other wives' sons, and King Saul himself, gets them properly buried. The dead are finally being treated respectfully and being treated rightly. Now, the dead don't necessarily mean people that have died. It can be all of us have been dead at some point in our lives and have not been living according to the way God teaches us to live. I like to call them The Walking Dead. My favorite movie to watch, The Walking Dead. And The Walking Dead, you have these beings that they will chew you up, eat you, but they're dead. And I see that almost every day. I see people walking around and they chewing up on folks. They are saying things they ought not to say, and they treating, especially if you drive a car, they cut you off and cut in front and everything. And they just dead. And our God said, now, you want to treat the dead with respect. You want to show some honor to the dead. Because you were dead once. And God brought you to life. And so when we see somebody that's dead, we need to pray, God, bring them to life. Do for them what you've done for me. Give them your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit makes us alive. It makes us well. It brings us into the presence of our God. And so this is what happens. David finally comes alive. David then recognizes we need to do what's right by the dead. And he properly buried them. Verse 14 says they were properly buried, and they had performed all that the king had commanded in treating the dead right. And then it says this, and after that, the very last sentence of verse 14, after that, God heeded the prayer of the land. God heeded the prayers that were being offered for the land. My brothers and sisters, after we decide we're going to do what's right, and that's what happened with David. David finally decided he was going to do what was right. After you decide you're going to do what's right, then you can get a prayer through. If you're still trying to get a prayer through and you are doing what you know is wrong to do, your prayer is empty. Your prayer is not going to reach the ceiling. It doesn't go anywhere, because God doesn't honor a prayer when you're living in a way that you know he's not pleased with. You want your prayer to be heard? Then start living right. Start doing what God will be pleased with. Start obeying the command of the living Christ. And then after that, God will hear your prayers. God will heal the land. God will make a way out of no way. God will raise you up. He'll make you strong. He will bless. But you got to decide, I'm going to do what's right. Rizpah did what was right. She didn't have the authority to bring those men down from being hanged, and she didn't have the money to get them buried. She didn't have that ability to do any of that. But she had the ability to do what was right. And when she did what was right, God moved on the heart of the one that did have the money and did have the authority and did have the ability. And then that one did what was right. And then God heard the prayers. God will hear us when we do all that we can to do what's right in his presence. Doesn't matter whether you're Rizpah and don't have any money to spend, you don't have any reputation, you're not all that well known. God said, just do what's right. And God will bless. God will smile upon your efforts. Rizpah persevered even for months, not seeing anything change. All she was doing was fighting birds and wild beasts. But God started putting eyes on her. God started getting the report to the right people. And it was reported back to the king, this is what Rizpah has done. And he said, what she's doing is something I ought to have done. Going to change my actions now. God will start making actions happen because you did what was right. You want to see God in action? Start doing what's right. Because doing what's right gets God moving. And God will start acting on your behalf when you decide, I'm going to do what's right. It moves the throne of God. I am always, always glad when I read in the book of Acts when a man stoned to death for doing what was right. His name was Stephen. He was, we consider, one of the first deacons of the church. Stephen did what was right. And the Bible says, as they were stoning him to death, he did two things. One, he asked God to forgive them as they are killing him. Boy, I wish I had that kind of faith. Forgive the ones that are killing me? And they're not going to stop until I'm dead. He says, God, Father, forgive them. And then the Bible says, and that's what I love, the Bible says, Jesus is in heaven, he's seated at the right hand of the Father. The Bible says, Jesus gets up out of his seat. The one that is eternally seated at the right hand of the Father, Jesus Christ rises up. Jesus said, I'm going to be a witness to this. I'm not going to stop it. I'm not going to change it. I'm not going to hold them back. I'm not going to send an angel to vindicate it. I'm just going to stand up and witness what's going on. And my brothers and sisters, when you got Jesus Christ standing as your witness, when you got Jesus Christ giving your life a standing ovation, when you got Jesus Christ saying, that's the one, that's the kind of spirit I want to see in a man. That's the kind of spirit I want to see in a woman. I want to see that spirit of wisdom. I want to see that spirit of perseverance. I want to see that spirit of loving people more than I love myself. God said, I'm going to honor that spirit. He honors when we let the spirit of Christ live in us. God honors that spirit. I hope and pray you will let him live in you today. I'm going to stop right there. Will you stand with me? Maybe somebody here today wants to accept this Christ as your Savior. It starts with you making the decision you want to do right. RISPA is a great example. Persevere in our Christ.